Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of eternal life. Amen. God's word before us on this Confirmation Sunday is our gospel for the day, John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14, in the Pew Bible on page 1088. Since it is our tradition to stand out of respect for the gospel, I ask you to do so. John chapter 21, beginning with verse 1, Pew Bible, page 1088. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. A youngster was playing outside one day when mom called him in for dinner. When he got to the table, she asked to see his hands. They were absolutely filthy. Young man, she said, how many times do I have to tell you to wash your hands before you eat? They're full of germs. Now go and wash them. As this youngster was making his way to the door, he could be heard mumbling under his breath, germs, germs, germs. That's all I ever hear around here, but I never see any of them. Isn't that true of us who are Christians? That many of the things in which we believe, we've never seen? Ethan? Have you ever seen Jesus? Yeah. Evan, ever seen an angel? Not as far as you know. Rowan, ever seen heaven? No. Really, when the scriptures speak, they speak truthfully. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. You think maybe that's why Jesus appeared so often and to so many people after his resurrection from the dead, to reassure them that he really was risen and alive? And isn't that why he appeared to his disciples in our text today? Didn't he want these former fishermen to know that he had something far better, far bigger and greater in mind for them than their old way of living? That's Jesus' will for you too, confirmants. Well, today is really a big day for you. It really is. It's a milestone on your journey, obviously, but it's a big day. In a few moments, you're going to stand up and in front of all these people with God as your witness, profess your faith publicly in Jesus as your Savior. You're going to pledge lifelong allegiance, lifelong loyalty to Jesus and his word. And that's not going to be easy. It's going to be so easy for you to revert to old patterns, old ways of living, some of them not spiritually healthy, especially if you don't have the support of your moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and family members and loved ones. And so today, with your eyes focused clearly on the open and empty tomb of Jesus, journey with him to a new friendship. Jesus is personally with you according to his promise, and Jesus is powerfully with you according to his purpose. Here's a question for all of you. Why do you think that some of Jesus' disciples returned to Galilee to go fishing? Now, certainly it had been a very tense and tumultuous time for them. The last few weeks had been like an emotional roller coaster for them. They had watched as Jesus triumphantly rode into Jerusalem on a donkey on Palm Sunday. They had observed as Jesus cleansed the temple and then was confronted by the Jewish authorities in Jerusalem. They had agonized over Jesus' arrest, his trial, his crucifixion, his burial. And then came his resurrection. It really must have been an emotional roller coaster for them. Everything came so fast and with such intensity that their heads must have been spinning on their necks. Perhaps all they wanted was a normal, ordinary day when they could do something familiar and enjoyable. Confirmants, if you had your choice, what would you do on a day like that? The disciples went fishing. They went fishing in Galilee, where Jesus had told them that he would meet them. And when they were there at the Sea of Galilee, a body of water that they knew so well, Jesus appeared to them. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. And then later on in the text, then the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, the author of our text most likely, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." It really shouldn't surprise us that Jesus knew what his disciples needed and that he would meet them exactly where he had promised. One day, a little girl was walking home from church. A passerby met her and asked her where she had been. She told him she had been at church learning about God. The man, who was not much of a fan of church or of God, figured he'd teach her a lesson, and he said, "Young gal, I'll give you $5 if you can tell me where God is." Without batting an eyelash, this little girl said, "Sir, I'll give you $10 if you can tell me where God isn't." Like that man, we so often fail to recognize that God is present in our lives. We are on a journey, and God is part of that journey. We tend to view our life as nothing more than a dog-eat-dog existence, a survival of the fittest, as it were, where the best man always wins, and whether we like to hear this or not, that's sin. And regardless of what form or what shape sin takes in our lives, God says the soul that sins is the one who will die. But it was for this very reason that Jesus came into the world, to undo what sin had done. God himself says the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. And when God raised Jesus from the dead early in the morning on Easter Sunday, he was announcing to the world that from now on things would be different. It's because of Easter that everything is changed. It's because of Easter that you and I can, every day of our lives, count the risen and living Jesus into the equation of life. The psalmist was so right when he said, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." Confirmands, Easter is God's guarantee to you that Jesus is with you every day and that he'll give you the strength you need to face every situation in life. You know that Jesus is with you today in a very special way as you gather with your classmates and your brothers and sisters in Christ to worship him. He himself says, "Where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them." Jesus absolutely loves it when you lend him your ear, listen to him as he speaks to you in his word and comes to you in his Holy Supper. I don't know how many of you are going to get Bibles as confirmation gifts, but don't make that a hidden book. Don't let that book gather dust as it sits unused. You know, we talk about our journey through life, and when we make a journey, we often have a backpack or something else in which we carry our things. This is my confirmation Bible. It's 50 years old. I don't use it as much as I'd like because it's the King James Version and it kind of speaks in a language that we don't speak today. This is my bedstand Bible. And so at night when I'm doing my devotions, this is the Bible that I use. What I typically use is my study Bible. I got this, I believe, at the seminary when we adopted the New International Version. This has been rebound 3 times, and there's some books of the Bible like Romans. What is Romans come, guys? Old Testament or New? Good job, Sam. Okay. Where there are so many notes that it's sometimes hard to read the scripture because I have so many notes there. Find a Bible with you with which you feel comfortable and make that part of your journey through life. What's also in my backpack is meditations. You're familiar with this, I believe. When I was your age, 8th grade, at Trinity in Watertown, Wisconsin, my pastor, Walter A. Schumann, my dad, who was a classmate, called him Boots. Schumann, Boots, get it? Okay. Said to the confirmation class, "You kids are going to need a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for your soul every day." And he gave us some meditations. For 50 years, I've been using meditations. It comes out new every 3 months. It's not expensive. This is my peanut butter and jelly sandwich for my soul every single day of my life. So choose what you're going to make part of your backpack as you make your journey through life with Jesus. And then, like every two-way conversation, you need to be speaking to Jesus. You need to be praying. Make prayer a part of your journey with Jesus. You know, Jesus doesn't just promise to listen to you. He promises to answer. And his answers to your prayers are always the best answers that you could possibly desire. So as you journey through life with Jesus, open your hearts to him as you listen to what he tells you in his word, and then pour out your hearts to him in prayer. It's a sad fact of life that many of your friendships, confirmation classmates, school classmates, neighborhood chums, these friendships are not going to last. That's part of a human relationship. Human relationships don't last forever. But Jesus promises to be your friend forever. Jesus says, "Surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus says, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake." And so without a doubt, the risen and living Jesus is personally present with you according to his promise. But he's also powerfully present with you according to his purpose. John writes in our text today, Jesus called out to his disciples, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. Jesus' question rivets his disciples' attention on the fact that their return to their former way of life has been a dismal failure. We don't know why they went fishing. Was it R&R? avoidance, escape. But all their personal skills, all their expertise, all their experience have produced absolutely nothing. They've spent the entire night fishing, and their net is empty. They've been skunked. For sure, without Jesus, they could not and they would not be blessed. Something all of us need to learn. But Jesus powerfully provides for them beyond their wildest expectations. He shouts to them, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." Think of it. These were experienced fishermen. This was their occupation. This stranger standing on shore, they still didn't know that it was Jesus. It's a good football field away from them, and he tells them where to fish. They've toiled all night, the best time to fish, obviously, with no results. Logic says, cut your losses and go home. Experience says, pack it up and get some rest. Jesus says, throw your net over the right side of the boat. With nothing to lose and everything to gain, they cast caution to the wind and their net over the side. And what happens? They were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. How this miraculous catch of fish must have taken Jesus' disciples back some 3 years to a time when Jesus met them at the Sea of Galilee and told them he wanted them to be his disciples. Now they must have realized that the same power that brought about this miraculous catch of fish would also empower them to be fishers of people. I don't know this for a fact, but I doubt that these men ever went fishing for fish again. I suspect they spent the rest of their lives telling anyone who would listen, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. The disciples were now ready and willing to go out into all the world to proclaim the gospel of Jesus and to suffer everything for his sake. Are we any different? Confirmants, are you any different? Like Jesus' disciples some 2,000 years ago, won't you find your purpose in living for the one who lived and died and rose for you? Won't you, with your words and your actions, your behavior, your lifestyle, echo the words of the Apostle Paul, he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. And just as Jesus was present with his disciples on that ordinary day on the Sea of Galilee so many years ago, so he promises to be personally and powerfully present with you in all the ordinary things of life that you do every day, like counting fish. Who counted those fish? I've always wondered who counted the fish. Was it John? Was it the Holy Spirit who inspired John? You know, last Thursday, I went to the medicine cabinet to get some pain reliever. I had a headache, and when I took the bottle out of the medicine cabinet, somebody hadn't screwed the cover on tight, probably my son. And all these tablets went scattered on the floor. I had to count them all as I picked them up, and it seemed to take forever. You know how many were down there? 91. And I counted every single one. Who counted these fish? 153. But kids, aren't you glad that somebody did? Aren't you glad that somebody took the time and put forth the effort to count all of those fish? And aren't you glad that God, the Holy Spirit, felt that it was necessary for you to include this little detail in his gospel so that you might put your faith and trust in Jesus? I pray that that's the case. For in accounts like our text today, Jesus reassures you that he is with you today, tomorrow, and the next day, and will be with you always. You know, confirmants, with our schedule here at St. Paul's, it's kind of neat that Confirmation Sunday always lands during the Easter season. That means that you and I still live in the victory of the open and empty tomb of Jesus. Our lives are dead to sin and alive for Jesus because Jesus died for us that we might live for him. Ryan, Ellie, Leah, Ethan, Noah, Sam, Evan, Kyle, Emma, Abby, not Abigail, okay, Molly, Jack, and Rowan. May you never forget that the Lord Jesus, who lived for you, who died for you, and who then rose for you, is now personally and powerfully with you according to his promise and purpose. Let your journey with Jesus begin at the open and empty tomb of Jesus. Journey with him in a friendship that's new and exciting and never ends.